It takes an extraordinary team to embark on an extraordinary mission. WealthVest presents the 99 Best Marketing Ideas, a podcast dedicated to bringing financial advisors the most cutting-edge marketing strategies. Listen in as your fellow advisors share their top ideas to help you conquer your marketing needs.
Hello and welcome to another 99 Best Ideas podcast brought to you by WealthVest Marketing. Our guest today is somebody who is doing something that there are other advisors around the country who have done, but not necessarily to the level of success that Sam Legaspi has found. He is the founder of the Financial Liberty Project. He's an independent financial advisor, and he specializes in something that we're going to uncover because this truly is one of the best opportunities, not just marketing, but opportunities that there is. So, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with, tell me why you decided to become a financial advisor.
Actually, it was by accident. What happened was, it was interesting. I was just telling the same story yesterday. I was in college and I went the path of least resistance. So I tried to find a major that was really simple, and I hated writing essays. So I loved taking multiple choice tests. I was a pretty good multiple choice test taker. So the days of the Scantron were about. So I did some research and found out that the economics major in my school, the majority of the classes were Scantrons. So I ended up becoming an econ major, and then throughout the year, what ended up happening was I started trying to figure out, what am I going to do with an econ degree? And so I asked a few professors, went to their office hours, and found out that, you know, really, I only had two choices. Really, I could be an economist, which that didn't sound too appealing, or it sounded pretty boring, as a matter of fact, or I could be a stockbroker. And that was brought up by one of my professors, and I thought I'd try it. So I looked into classifieds, and I found that there was what's called a stockbroker assistant, which little did I know at the time meant a lot of cold calling. Mm-hmm. So they basically just stuck me at a desk behind a phone, gave me a list, and said, hey, if you do this and you do this long enough, you'll be very successful in this business. So I ended up cold calling for, at the time, two of the largest advisors in the area, which I didn't know at the time. And so for a good 2 years, I was interning and I was calling and I was learning a little bit about the industry. And what ended up happening was that I was actually about to leave the industry. I was going, you know what, this cold calling stuff, it's good. I'm not bad at it. I just, you know, I'm 19 years old, 20 years old, and I don't know if I necessarily like to get rejected every single day of my life for a good 3 hours. And not just rejection, but some people, you know, asking me, where'd you get my number? And some people even yelling at me. So I figured, you know, I'm about to leave. And I remember talking to Jerry, the broker that I was working for, one of them. And I'll say, hey, Jerry. And he goes, hey, you're about to leave, aren't you? I go, well, he goes, wait, hold on here. Give me about 2 more weeks, come back and let's talk about it. Just promise me 2 more weeks. So I said, okay. So I waited. And in those 2 weeks, what had happened is that he had accepted a new position and transferred his book of business from the firm that he was at to a new firm across the way. Well, not a new firm, but a competing firm. And so I went with him. And then, so I still wasn't enthralled about it. I don't know. I didn't know what was going on. And I just said, hey, Jerry, you know what? I think I'm done, man. I don't know necessarily if I want to continue to keep getting rejected for, you know, $5 an hour. And so what he ended up doing was like, hey, hold on here. Let me go ahead and show you something. And before you make your decision, just go ahead and take a look at this and then just, you know, maybe figure it out. And he pulled out of his desk an envelope, and it happened to be his upfront bonus money that they paid him to come on over to bring his book of business over. And I got to tell you, my eyes popped out. I've never seen numbers like that before. And he goes, yeah, that was, you know, and it all started by me doing what you're doing right now. Hmm. That's my foray into the business. And what I ended up doing, Matt, was I thought about it and I go, you know what, that was pretty enthralling. And if I can do this for a good 2 or 3 years, I might be able to accept a check like that once I become an advisor. So that's kind of like the short and skinny of it all.
What makes your practice unique and different? So we know now that you have that experience, which means that you have a good amount of sales experience. You deal with no very well, but you've transformed your practice now into something that's just so much greater. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
You know, it's tremendous value, and that's really what it boils down to is there's a perception of value that is out there that if customers don't necessarily see that perceived value, then they're not going to, they're going to consider, hey, this guy's doing a lot for me. So it's kind of like a gardener. Instead of just mowing the lawn and doing what typically gardeners would do, it's taking the extra effort and probably even taking out the trash for the individuals or bringing in the empty trash cans, things that they don't necessarily need to do, but they do. And so it's this value added that we see individuals really cling to. On top of that, is that I do a tremendous amount of research. I'm constantly looking for information to read about the economy, about the market, about basically generally everything and anything that could affect the market or the economy in one way or another. And that information I convey to people. And sometimes I get this glazed donut look from people. They look at me and they go, "What in the world are you talking about?" But there's no question that these individuals actually do have a feeling that I do know what I'm talking about. So what I like to do in a lot of our workshops, I'll always tell people that when it comes to a very complicated industry such as this industry, I always try to keep this at a third grade level as far as understanding is concerned. In that way, our engineers and our science, you know, rocket scientists can understand what it is I'm saying too.
They don't get up and walk out after you say that?
No, they actually start laughing. They enjoy it because they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I guess you can also say what makes us unique is that, and that's really the encompassing part of it, is that there's rarely any selling going on. It's just pure education. And people know that when they listen to us, our whole goal is for you to leave our workshop or to leave our meeting that much more knowledgeable about your money.
Let's talk about the workshop itself, which is, I'm going to jump ahead on the normal line of questions here because you just kind of opened me up for it there. So, Sam, what kind of workshop do you do and how do you market those workshops to have the level of attendance and closing rate that you do?
You know, the workshops, they're your typical workshops, and they vary from different locations, and you know they are just what we call just seminars. But for the most part, what's gone on is that we've been able to, in my years of doing this, been able to penetrate a few corporations, a few major corporations, and now I'm really maybe one of three or one of four advisors on campus that's allowed. And so we do a lot of those workshops. Our main workshops are actually done inside campuses of these corporations. And so how we market those workshops is really through word of mouth. And because we do have quite a bit of a large following in these corporations, as well as my competitors. And we'll have flyers that lay out in the conference room. We'll contact managers and employees of the company and just let them know that, hey, next Wednesday at 5:00, we have another workshop. Give us a call or call our office and let us know how many people you'd like to bring. And sometimes we have workshops, throughout the day. Like sometimes in the morning, we'll go ahead and throw it out, maybe 7:00 in the morning or sometimes for lunch. So we try to keep it really, the times vary so that individuals will be able to attend anytime. The people that can't make the 5:00 when they can make the mornings or the afternoons. We try to really be accessible.
How did you get into those companies, Sam? I mean, it's like the golden goose. Instead of just trying to get the eggs, you actually got multiple geese. How'd you do that, man?
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, that's the million-dollar question, and that's where I feel that people give up a lot of times.
Oh.
It really is, and I'll be candid with you, in the very beginning, there is a element of just picking up that phone and just hammering away. See, back in the day, we could pick up the phone and make 300 dials. That was not out of the ordinary. We'd have 300 dials, and we would have 50 contacts. And in those 50 contacts, we would have two leads a day. And that's what we did. So every single week, we had anywhere between 10 to 20 leads a day. And when I say we, I'm talking about our bullpen. I'm talking about the people that were still, you know, actively cold calling. And so we recognize that if we continue to keep at this, that there was no question that we were going to be very successful. And so what ended up happening was that really just kind of like the stroke of, you know, just a stroke of luck. What happened was I ended up reaching and having a conversation with an individual who happened to be in that sweet spot when it came to retirement. And we started talking and we met. And what ended up happening was that I found out that he was an employee of this major corporation. And he had friends of friends that also were in his situation that wanted to listen to what I had to say because they found it compelling and different from what they've been hearing out in the street. And so before you know it, it started to open up doors and they were compelled with the information I was providing. And they found that my information was different. My style was different, that they felt, hey, you know what? We can invite this guy on a campus. And before you know it, that became the beginning of a very, very, you know, prosperous relationship, mutually beneficial relationship.
How do you keep this going, though? So when it comes to execution, how are you successfully at executing this over and over again? You were talking about flexibility in holding the workshops. What else has been a key to your success?
FaceTime. Oh. And I don't necessarily mean the iPhone FaceTime. I mean constantly being there and making it's no different than a paper route. Yeah, every single day, you know, back in the day, I had a paper route. I rode my bike and I would just throw, you know, these papers onto people's driveways, and every single house, you know, you just went through, and the same thing, it was a route. So what we did is I would just continuously go to each particular location and I would visit that location. And let's just say location A, I visited that location A first week of January, and how my route had it was that I wasn't going to be around until maybe the first week of April at that same route. So every single week, I was visiting 3 to 4 locations, and I was just dropping off goodies and just keeping myself available for any questions. And just as long as they allowed me to be on campus, not hindering any activities, any of their company protocol, but just staying right behind everyone and in, you know, dark and in the corner so no one didn't really see me, but then yet they knew I was there. So a lot of FaceTime is really what allowed me to succeed and to continue the execution. And what it did is that over a period of time, it allowed for more referrals to continue to happen, because what people don't realize is that an individual who might be, you know, 10 years away from retirement, he's not going to talk to you. He or she may not want to speak with you because they're 10 years away. But before you know it, those 10 years go by pretty quickly. And all they know is that they've seen you for the past 10 years. So they know you already. It's not much different than in real estate when you have a real estate agent canvassing a particular community. I think they call it farming, and you don't have any intention of selling a house or buying a home, but then yet they continue to keep canvassing and they continue to keep sending you flyers and what they just sold. They send you notepads and calendars with their face on it. And so during the day when you're about to sell or buy a home, the very first name you think of is that individual's name.
What hasn't worked well for you? So let's talk about some of the marketing ideas that you tried to implement either earlier in your career or now that have really just fallen flat.
Oh, you know, what hasn't worked was something that I gave up on, because I believe everything works.
Okay. Wow.
Everything works. It's just a function of, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of continuing to keep doing it and having the tenacity. And that's what I mentioned earlier, is that a lot of individuals, they fail because they can't continue to keep picking up that phone and making 300 phone calls and making 50 contacts a day. I mean, that was one of the four fortes. If I didn't get my 50 contacts in that day, I would not leave. And sometimes that was 10 o'clock in the evening. And so there's an element of tenacity. And what I find is that new recruits, they come on in, and if it's not working the first or second or third time, they say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. It's just too much. Obviously, this just doesn't work. But everything works. And it's just a matter of giving it time. I've got friends that only canvas country clubs, and they are members of a country club, and the majority, 80% of their business comes from that country club, or even particular organizations, whatever it might be.
Hmm. I love that, which really leads me to one of the last questions I'm going to ask you, which is, if you had one piece of advice for new advisors, what would it be?
That's a good question, and I know the answer. That would be to identify a market and dominate it.
Nice. You know, my old boss, a guy named Ron Carson, who ended up being my mentor and somebody who I look up to still to this day. Yeah, he's an amazing human. He used to joke up on stage that when he first started, created his own word, and he called it persidity, which was persistence mixed with stupidity. And he said, you know, I would just go for it, right? It would just unabashed persistence. And that's exactly what I'm hearing from you. And if you look at the growth that you've had, and then the growth where Ron Carson is right now, you know, that level of persistence really, really is truly amazing. But I need to know where it comes from, Sam. What keeps you doing this and working this hard every day?
And that's one of the 7 rules to the Financial Liberty Project that we have in a white paper.
Really?
Yeah, it happens to be the 3rd rule, and that's really inspiration creates action, which ultimately is finding what your why is. The faster you can figure out why you wake up and why you do the things you do, why you put your left foot in front of your right foot every single day, the moment you find that out is the moment that inspiration, you'll never have to be re-inspired. And inspires, Latin for, you know, the fire within. And so what it really is just finding that inspiration that allows you to continue to keep creating. And so that there is no, sometimes we're going to have to go to the well and we're going to have to try to find elements to motivate ourselves. But what I find is that the moment you find out what your why is, and many times your why changes. My why changed, you know, in the very beginning from where it is today. And my why was based on fear in the very beginning, because I knew I had a very prestigious opportunity working for a top 5 firm on Wall Street, and I didn't want to blow it. And I was on probation for the first year, as a lot of brand new recruits back then were. And if you didn't have a certain amount of assets, a certain amount of accounts, and a certain amount of gross revenue coming in, then you could be terminated. And that's just how it was. So my why was more fear-based versus once you start succeeding and you've paid your dues, the why changes. And so it may change 3, 4, 5 times, but you have to constantly keep trying to find out what is your why you're waking up. And then, so from there, that obviously just allows for more persistence, because, you know, you see it a lot of times, people become extremely successful. They've got, you know, 8, 9 figures in their bank account. And what promotes them to keep going, like a Ron Carson, Ron's great, or an Ira Barron. You know, these guys are phenomenal advisors. And so what keeps them going and what keeps them going and is what their why is. They know what it is. But, you know, and a lot of times many people won't even tell you because they don't necessarily know it. But these individuals do. The great ones do.
Well, do you mind if I ask you what your current why is?
Absolutely. My current why is making sure that my kids, because I've got 6 kids, and so as they progress and as they moved on, it's really trying to help them understand what the meaning of money really is. And what I mean by that is you know, a lot of individuals are kind of handicapped in that our parents didn't necessarily know and teach us about money in the right way. They taught us how to save, but saving's one thing, and they didn't teach us about debt. Teachers don't understand what debt really is. And I mean, they understand the concept, but they don't really teach children in the elementary or the grade school or the high school level, college level, how to be successful with money. So there's not really a lot of money education that's going on. And so my why is to try to help these individuals, my kids, understand money. And so that, God forbid, anything were to happen to myself or my wife, that they don't necessarily have to be at someone's beckoning will in that they can actually manage their own money. So my whole why is educating them and allowing them to completely uncover the nuances of the money game. And because that's what really it is, it's a game of money. And it's trying to understand what is, you know, what the rules of the game is. And I oftentimes will say this in my workshops, is that if you play a board game or if you play basketball, whatever type of game it is, if you don't know the rules of the game, how in the world could you ever win the game? And so not only do I try to preach this and educate clients and prospective clients and just people in general about this, but my main objective is to educate my family, my kids, because I'd be a complete failure if I'm educating everybody else, but then yet the people closest to me don't even know what in the world I'm talking about. So my main why, my driver to continue the passion is to continue to keep learning, but at the same time, have them come along with me and enjoy the journey at the same time.
So just to distill what we've got going on here, couple of major little nuggets of gold and takeaways from today's podcast for the 99 Best Ideas. Number one, persistence. And I love that Sam specifically said every idea works, right? You just have to make sure that you continue to work on that idea until it works, which is that level of persistence. And then number two, if you don't know your why, if you don't know why you're getting up in the morning, or if your why just isn't motivating you enough, then you need to find a new one. It can be both personal, it can be professional, it can be spiritual, it can be physical. There's all sorts of different ways to motivate yourself. But understanding what your philosophical underpinnings, that mantra, that reason why you get up in the morning, is truly the motivation that will take you to the next level. If you have not seen the Simon Sinek YouTube video, Start With Why, please make sure that you see that. We'll put that link in the show notes. And Sam, thank you so much for your thought leadership today and taking some time to talk with us.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Sam Legaspi, founder of the Financial Liberty Project on the 99 Best Ideas, brought to you by WealthFest. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time we come out with another 99 Best Ideas, it will show up directly on your listening device. And if something in the podcast resonated with you today that you know another financial services professional could use this advice that Sam just provided, please make sure that you click that share button. It's super duper easy to go ahead and get this into somebody else's hands. So for everybody at WealthFest, Sam Legaspi, and all of us at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of WealthVest or Top Advisor Marketing. The mere appearance of content on the site does not constitute an endorsement by WealthVest or Top Advisor Marketing. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. WealthVest or Top Advisor Marketing do not make any representation or warranties with respect to the accuracy, applicability, fitness, or completeness of the content. WealthVest or Top Advisor Marketing does not warrant the performance, effectiveness, or applicability of any sites listed or linked to any content. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.